Well, good morning, and it's great to see so many folk here in our building this morning. And whoever you're joining us on this Sunday, the 6th of November, you're very welcome. Whether you're say here at our building, or joining us online, or joining us later on the telephone, or indeed for those who maybe aren't joining us live this morning, but will be watching this service at some other stage, you're very welcome with us. I'm told we've got people watching us in America, in Australia, in Belgium, in the Caribbean, and possibly in the Kingdom of Mourne this morning. But wherever you are, you're most welcome to our service. Special word of welcome to our senior minister, the Reverend Brian Gibson, and his wife Jean. We give them a warm Railway Street welcome back. And it's lovely to see you here this morning. Now, as jokingly said to the folk at the door, there may be more longer announcements this morning than there is a sermon, so I'll let you time that and see what the answer is. I'll run through these as quickly as I possibly can. Elders, district elders, your packs are available for collection in the link through this door. So if you could collect those either after the service this morning or this evening, that would be very helpful. And again, if you could arrange to have those distributed within your districts within the next couple of weeks, that would be ideal. Presbyterian heralds are available on the table in the vestibule. If you can collect yours and for a friend or neighbour and deliver those, that would be very helpful as well. Michael is still on holiday. So if the services of a minister are required today, if you could let either myself or Heidi know, and we'll see what it is as we can make for you. Our evening service this evening at 6:30 will be conducted by Mr. Tom Finnegan, the student assistant in Hill Hall Presbyterian Church, but much better known to us as brother of Dermot or brother-in-law of Susie or uncle of the rest of the family. So come out this evening. Tom did the accredited preachers course at the same time that I did, so I've known Tom a long time, and he's always an interesting and thought-provoking speaker. So if you're able to come this evening and support Tom, that would be great. Today is the last day for dropping off the filled shoeboxes here in church. So if you have brought yours, if you could leave it with the pile of the others in the vestibule, and they will be collected. If you've not managed to bring it this morning, or if you've forgotten it, you can drop it off either in the manse porch or in the church office up until Thursday, and then they'll be taken off to Samaritan's Purse at some point on Thursday. If you want to pay for the box online and receive a barcode, that will then let you know where your box has ended up in due course. Kirk session, we meet for prayer tomorrow evening between 8 and 9, and we'll meet in the link. And just as a preliminary notice, the next stated meeting of Kirk session will be the 14th of November. That'll be Monday week. Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade meet this week as normal. Then there's a special meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:30 in the link for those who want to learn how to work the coffee machine, the dishwasher, and the other equipment that's in there. So if you're one of the organisations and want to find out how that operates, if you could come along on Wednesday evening. There's absolutely no truth in the rumour that the seminar on washing and ironing the week after that, or indeed on hoovering and dusting the week after that again. But if there is a need, you know, we'll do our best. Now, next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, and you'll see on the notices, those of you who have got them, that our arrangements for next Sunday are slightly different. So in good alo-alo style, listen very carefully. I shall say this only once. Arrangements will be different as we're hosting the Royal British Legion Service of Remembrance for our area. We're having an early service here at 10:30, and that will be our summer mission report service, and that will be conducted by members of our Romania and Ganaway teams, and that will include an act of remembrance. Now, this service is due to finish at about 11:15, and you know, if those who are coming could possibly sit downstairs, that'll make logistics easier for the service that will begin at 11:30. That service will be conducted by our minister. Both services, we hope, will be live streamed, and you're very welcome to attend both services. If you're coming to the second service, if you wouldn't mind sitting in one of the upstairs non-reserved sections, because we'll have all sorts of people sitting downstairs and in different parts of the upstairs of the building. But If you're able to come along, you will be, of course, very welcome. Now, the observant amongst you will notice that we don't have offering envelopes for the Royal British Legion out this morning. That's partially my fault for not finding them. So if you want to make a contribution to the Royal British Legion, if you could bring that with you next Sunday or make it online to the normal account, then we'll see that gets to where it's supposed to be. Last Sunday evening, a number of us had the pleasure of going to Lecacurry congregation to join with our former youth and family worker, Stephen Kerr, as he was licensed for the ministry. It was a good crowd went from Railway Street. That was great to see. But as Stephen asked me to pass on this morning, his thanks to those who were able to come, but particularly to the Diocese of Congregation for our prayerful support for him over his training so far. Those, I think, are all the announcements. I'm sorry if I've forgotten any. And we come, though, this morning to worship the living God. We come to worship the one who says to us, I'm your strength, I'm your shield. David the psalmist said, my heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. So we're going to do that as we stand, if we're able to sing, in the tradition of our forefathers, the 100th Psalm, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this your day, we can come and can worship you. We thank you that in the midst of all the busyness of our lives, you call us to be still and to know that you are God. And so we come in the stillness to worship you this morning. We worship you as the one who has created all that is. We come to bless you for the wonder of your creation. We come to thank you and to bless you for your goodness to each one of us. We thank you that you are the one who is unchanging, the one upon whom we can always rely and always depend. We thank you that at just the right time you sent the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour. We thank you that when we come to you and confess our sin, you forgive that sin and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we do that again this morning, asking that you would forgive our sins of thought, of word, of deed, of omission and commission. That you would cleanse us by your mercy and by your grace, that we would indeed be able to walk again in that right relationship with you. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. We pray your blessing upon our time of worship, that each of us would know that reality of your presence with us, that when we go from this service, we would each know that we've had an encounter with the living God, for it is indeed in his name we ask it. Amen. Johnny is going to, and the band are going to lead us in two hymns now. We're going to sing Your Grace is Enough and then Be Thou My Vision.
Good morning, everyone. Would all like to stand?
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis. We'll read together Genesis chapter 5, reading verses 18 to 24. And then we'll also read two verses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. If you want to follow along with the reading from Genesis, it's on page 7 of the Pew Bible. And let us hear God's word together. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years. And then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. And then from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. We pray that God himself will bless these readings from his word. Now, for the young folk who are in church and online, many of you will know that I quite like riddles and puzzles. So I was a little surprised when I discovered that this had been left for me. This is a three-pin plug. And the little riddle that came with it was, how are Rangers, my football team, like a three-pin plug? The answer being, both are useless in Europe. To thank those Liverpool supporters at the congregation this morning for not mentioning the 7-1 hammering that we took in the recent Champions League, and I think I'm right in saying that Rangers now hold the record for the worst ever performance in the group stage of the Champions League. But there you go. Other people have had more difficult couples of months. And that got me thinking, because some of you might may have noticed in a competition in an English newspaper that involved one of these. Some of you got right. Anybody know what this is? I'm not going to ask the Scottish people, because this is a vegetable. You may not be familiar with it. But I'm in real trouble the next day. I go and see my mum now. Anybody know this? This is a lettuce. And some of you will have noticed that one of the English newspapers ran a competition a few weeks ago to see what would last longer, a lettuce or Ms. Truss as our last Prime Minister. And for the younger folk in church who didn't know this, the lettuce managed to win, which says a lot about the state of our country. But you know, in our Bible reading this morning, we read part of Genesis chapter 5, and the full chapter there gives us the names of lots of very old men who were called the patriarchs, and nine of them lived for 700, 800, 900, nearly 1,000 years, apart from one. And that one man's name was Enoch, and he only lived for 365 years. And that's who we're going to think about in our service today, because we read in the Bible that Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. And that really means that one day Enoch went out for a walk and just kept walking and walking and walking, and one day, and that day he walked straight into God's presence in heaven. And we don't know exactly how that worked. There are better minds than ours can spend time thinking about that. But we know that that happened because he trusted in God and he lived faithfully for him. And you know, it doesn't matter how long or how short our lives are, or what job you or I are ever called to do. It's what we do with that matters, and how we do it to the best of our ability with God's help that matters. And that's how Enoch is remembered. We know these men with other very long names, most of them have been forgotten. But Enoch's remembered as somebody who walked faithfully with God. God looked after him and took him safely to heaven. And he's the same God who can look after you and look after me, and when our time on earth is finished, that we too can then go to be with him. So whether the sermon lasts longer than the lettuce or the lettuce lasts longer than the sermon, you can ask some of the older folk after you come back. Our young folk are going to be meeting in the link this morning, so if you're a young person to collect, if you make sure you collect them in the link, and I'll let you go out. Just take your time, those of you who are coming down the stairs, that you don't trip. And the rest of us in a moment or two will come and bring our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. By the way, if there are any vegetarians or vegans in the congregation who would like this lettuce, do speak to me afterwards, because its chances of being eaten in our house are not good, because you can't apparently deep fry them or have them with chips. So, as well, Ian Manine's not here, as people like me and my arteries keep Ian in a job. So. It's a water bottle and not sandwiches. Right, Archie, don't worry, they'll not start without you. All right. We come now to bring our prayers of thanksgiving and of intercession. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thank you that you're a God who loves to hear and who loves to answer our prayers. We come to give you our thanks this morning for those prayers of ours that we have offered, that you have heard, that you have answered, whether they be for our congregation and our church fellowship, for us as individuals or for our families. We thank you that you're the God who hears and that you answer and you care for us. So we bring our prayers before you this morning. Especially today we come to remember our government, for our new Prime Minister and for his ministers, indeed for all in Parliament, that they would know wisdom and discernment as they take difficult decisions. Grant that they would do that for the good of all. We pray for them for wisdom as they tackle the very serious challenges that our country is facing. We too lift before you the political situation here in Northern Ireland. We pray especially at the moment for those in the civil service who have had to take on additional responsibilities. We ask for them that they would know that grace and that strength and that wisdom that you can provide. And too, we remember all our politicians here at Westminster and in Europe. Grant that as they grapple with the issues that divide, that they would be able to reach an acceptable accommodation on those matters that are outstanding and contentious, so that we would indeed have a government back here that can work for the good of all in our society, to care for the young and for the old, for the weak, for the sick, for the poor, and for all who struggle with their daily burden in whatever walk of life they have. Grant to our Father, we pray, grace and wisdom to the churches as we seek to speak wisely and helpfully into this situation in the public square. We pray that you would grant us of your wisdom and of your grace. To this morning, we remember those who are training for the ordained ministry of our church. We give you thanks for those from our own presbytery, Andrew Martin and Stephen Kerr, who have recently been licensed. We pray your blessing upon them as they seek to serve you. We remember Tom Finnegan in his student assistantship in Hill Hall, and as he joins us this evening, and for our own Stephen Woods and for Rachel and for Judah, that you would bless them in their assistantship in Ballymure, that you would continue to prepare them for their ministry, their time as ministers of word and of sacrament. We thank you too for those who work in Union College. And this morning we want to remember the faculty and staff, that they would know your blessing day by day as they teach and as they encourage and inspire our students. And especially today we remember our own Marty Cowan and Johnny Davidson as they work in Union College. We pray that you would bless them in their service for your kingdom. Too, within our own congregation, we recognise that those who carry the burden of illness, we pray for each one that they and those who care for them would know that grace to meet them at the very point of their need. Remember too those for whom this is a painful time of the year. We ask that you would draw especially close to those who find these days difficult, remembering especially those who have been bereaved, and ask for your comfort and your peace for all who know the pain of loss, that each would draw on the strength of the one who conquered death and opened the way to everlasting life. Grant too for all of us that we would know your guiding hand upon us, and help us to walk with you and to serve you faithfully where you've called us to be. For these things we ask in your name. Amen. Before we come to the sermon, we're going to sing a hymn that's been requested, and it's another change of musical style, and we're going to sing, and standing if we're able, Trust and Obey. Suspect from time to time you, like me, have met someone famous. And it may be that the old adage that you should never meet your heroes came true, or that the famous person you met made a real impression upon you. Now, thinking back to the Northern Ireland of the early to mid-1970s, I think it would be fair to say that we didn't get a huge number of famous visitors coming to our part of the world. As many of you will know, I grew up in Kilkeel at that time, and I think it would be fair to say that a small fishing town at the foot of the Mourne Mountains was not the first place that would come to mind for a famous visitor to our province to go to. But all that changed in the early autumn of 1974, when we learned that a famous politician would be coming not just to Kilkeel, but to visit our home. Now, up to that point, I think our most famous visitors had been moderators of the General Assembly, one of those things that happened at that time for manse families living in border areas. But this was going to be something rather different. So one very wet evening, this clearly very well-educated and very well-spoken Englishman was ushered into our living room by his police bodyguards. My brother and I were whisked into the room to shake hands, and then very quickly removed before we said something we shouldn't. Some things haven't changed. But then, after a few minutes, our visitor departed. Not, it is fair to say, leaving a great impression on my mum, as he had refused to drink the tea that she'd made for him or even eat the biscuits that she'd put out. Now, the gentleman in question was Enoch Powell, and his visit is one I remember very clearly, not primarily because he was famous, but because of his name. Because I'd never met anyone called Enoch before, and I'm almost certain that I haven't met anyone called Enoch since. But in asking why he'd got that name and who he was named after, I got the answer, he's named after Enoch in the Bible, one of only two people in recorded history who did not die. The other, by the way, was Elijah, and perhaps we'll have the opportunity to consider his story on another occasion. But I've always found this short account of Enoch fascinating, and he's quickly become one of my favourite Bible characters. His story, as we read it earlier, simply says that Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Why was this man so different from the others whose names we find in the early biblical record? And what could he teach you and teach me about having a right relationship with God? And we're going to think about that in three different aspects. First of all, in terms of action, then in terms of attitude, and finally in terms of association. So let's consider each of those in turn. In this chapter, Genesis chapter 5, we read of 11 of the patriarchs, men of significance who lived before the great flood came in the time of Noah, the 11th one mentioned. And the record of these men follows a very similar pattern. They were born, they lived for a number of years, they begat a son, they lived for a further number of years and had other children, and then they died. And by analysing the time span given for their lives, most of these men would have been alive at the same time, and would very likely have known one another. They may well have been able to hear firsthand from Adam the story of the fall and the subsequent impact on their lives and those of all mankind. Now, we don't know what these men were like or what relationship they had with God. Yet what we can tell is that one of these patriarchs, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was very different to the others, and as such, the commentator Matthew Henry describes him as the brightest star of the patriarchal age. Scripture tells us that Enoch was born when his father Jared was 162. Now, the prospect of parenthood can be reasonably terrifying at any age, but the thought of having a responsibility for a baby at 162 years of age cannot have been easy. Now, we simply don't know what the state of health of the patriarchs, men whose lifespan was considerably longer than ours today, would have been. But nonetheless, this would not have been an easy family dynamic for either father or son. But the next thing that we learn of Enoch was that he became the father of Methuselah at the relatively early age of 65. And I find what comes next in verse 22 very interesting. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. And you know, the arrival of a child can so often be the trigger God uses to bring someone to himself, or to bring someone who once professed a faith but has backslidden back. The responsibility for looking after an other life that isn't capable of looking after itself is one that can lead a new parent to look to the one who gives life. And in the churches we've belonged to in Scotland and on the Isle of Man, and to here in Northern Ireland, many have shared in their testimonies how the birth of their children caused them to start on a journey that brought them to personal faith in Jesus, or brought them back to the faith that they had wandered from. Never underestimate the impact that a congregation's ministry to children and young people can have, not just on the child or the young person themselves, but on family members of all ages. We are very fortunate that in many parts of Northern Ireland, we still have the tradition of attending Sunday school, albeit it probably now goes by a different name as it does here, and Boys' Brigade and Girls' Brigade. The importance of these for a church in reaching into their community cannot be underestimated, and is something that we have seen, and I pray will continue to see, here in our congregation through both our Boys' Brigade and our Girls' Brigade. These two organisations are critical parts of our church family's strategic mission plan and need our continued prayerful and practical support. But the choice of words by the writer of Genesis here is worth noting. They don't say that Enoch lived for 300 years after Methuselah was born, rather that Enoch walked with God. This gives us a picture of a personal relationship with God. As we read in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. In order to walk together for 300 years, Enoch must have developed a close relationship of faith with his Heavenly Father. One of the key components of the Duke of Edinburgh Award programme is the expedition. It involves teamwork in the great outdoors, in many cases walking in a group across part of the Mourne Mountains, to demonstrate to assessors that this group can navigate themselves from the starting point to the conclusion safely, complete with all of their equipment. Over the days of their expedition, the group needs to be able to remember how to use a map and a compass, how to cook for themselves, how to put up and put down a tent, how to look after the countryside that they're walking through, look after themselves and look after one another, amongst many other things. These expeditions test those who participate as they become tired, frustrated, confused, concerned, happy, content, elated, and finally taste the sense of fulfillment. They teach a great deal not only about others, but also about ourselves. It's a little cameo of life where we each need to take those series of journeys, and those journeys are so much easier when you and I are not called to walk alone. But then this brings us on to think about our attitude as we walk with God. Enoch walked with God. He didn't go before him, and he didn't lag behind him. He lived a life in constant communion with God, taking care to trust in him, to obey his commands, and to make time to be in his presence. It is reasonable to conclude that in both the good times and in the challenging times, Enoch continued in his walk with God. In all the business of his life, whether it be the sacred or the supposedly mundane, Enoch's attitude remained that he walked with God. This attitude of faith, as we see it described in the verses we read from Hebrews chapter 11, that tell of Enoch's story, was one that was consistent. This is a faith that would have been noticed in contemporary society. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the nature of the society that Enoch lived in, but it does make it clear that his lifestyle was distinctive. In our day, we live in a society where, on the surface at least, popular culture tells us that people are either antagonistic towards or utterly disinterested in our faith and all that it stands for. Yet one of the most interesting things about the impact of COVID is the increase in online church attendance across the United Kingdom. On an average Sunday morning, it could be expected that about 10% of the population of Great Britain, that's England, Scotland and Wales, would attend a church service. On average in lockdown, that figure increased to around 25%. And that, you know, is not measured by people who dipped in and dipped out of a service for a few seconds, but those who stayed for about 75% of the time. What our popular culture does not want to recognise or admit is that there is a real hunger for spiritual things in our society. The vacuum created by the failure of the world to provide the meaningful is really there for all to see. You know, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to speak his truth authentically and love and share that love into the world where God has called us to be. Now, no one should suggest that this is easy, as the last thing that the evil one wants to see is the church actively sharing the good news of Jesus by word and by life. His temptation that sadly some denominations and congregations have fallen for is to reduce worship to fluffy little stories and songs of no substance with catchy tunes, things that might have a form of godliness but deny its divine power. When that happens, the church is doing what the 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon memorably described as the church having replaced shepherds called to feed the goats, shepherds called to feed the sheep, with clowns appointed to entertain the goats. Walking in God's way is hard. It is countercultural, and it will not win popularity in contemporary society. Jesus warned those who would follow him that this would be the case when he spoke of the narrow gate and the difficult road. But Enoch's attitude shows us that he had not only the desire, but also the courage to walk with God. And that is the great lesson I believe he can teach us as we in our day seek to do what he did and walk faithfully with our Heavenly Father each day. Another patriarch, Job, knew deep relationship with God. The evil one suggested that this was simply because he had known God's blessing. So God allowed Job to be put to the test. As the litany of woes that befell Job grew, his wife advised him to curse God and die. His friends were of no help, bringing the expression Job's comforters into our language. And yet, at the very deepest and most distressing part of his story, Job's testimony was this: I know that my Redeemer lives, and though worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. His faith was such that he trusted in God to help him through, and that is exactly what God did. And you know, friends, he is the same God today who helps you and who helps me when we trust him and we walk with him. And this brings us to the third aspect of our thinking this morning, that of Enoch's association with God. He walked with God for the 300 years he lived in this world after Methuselah's birth. By his association with his God, Enoch chose to act on principle and make walking with God his conscious choice. He had chosen to walk with God and would keep going to the end of his earthly life, believing that one day he would live in heaven with him. And you know, there are many today who seek to define God on their terms and determine that it's for them to decide who God should be in the light of prevailing culture, never for one moment appearing to recognize that God is God and not someone or something that we can generate or control. In a society that proudly proclaims that it is inclusive and tolerant, the reality is that it is anything but that. Now, you may have seen the program that Stephen Nolan presented about a year or so ago, as he tried to explore what it was to have faith in God. And in meeting a number of people in the course of that program, Nolan kept coming back to the same theme. I want what you have, but I can't or won't come and ask for it. It's almost like Naaman of old, seeking something bespoke and spectacular from God, and then come to believe in him, rather than simply doing what God had asked. Maybe that's you this morning. This idea of walking with God is something you want, but you don't feel willing or able to take that first step, because you know God will never force you to walk with him. That is your choice, but his invitation is there for you this morning. Are you prepared to take that first step of faith by asking Jesus to be your Savior? Or are you going to keep standing where you are in the hope that, as Charles Dickens' character, Mr. Micawber, put it, something will turn up? Or perhaps you have made that decision to walk with Jesus some time ago, but you find that you're either not walking at all now, or that you're not walking at the same pace or in step with the Lord. He calls you this morning to come back and walk with him aright. Just like Job, he will restore your losses and draw you back into close fellowship with himself. He's waiting for you, and all you need to do is come to him. But you know, by its nature, every walk doesn't just have a starting point. It also has an end. As Enoch did not live like his contemporaries, so the end of his earthly journey was very different to theirs. As verse 24 of our passage puts it, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Or as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Why did God take Enoch when he had lived such a short time in comparison to the other patriarchs? Perhaps the world had become so corrupt that God took Enoch to spare him further sorrow and trouble. Or perhaps his work was done, and it was time for him to go home. We don't know the answer to this question, but I like to think of it like this. Heaven could no longer do without him. All of us experience bereavement, as the words of the Book of Common Prayer remind us. In the midst of life, we are in death. Yet for the Christian, things are different in times of bereavement, as we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Our association with God transcends both time and eternity, with the manner not only of our life, but the nature of our departure from it, being a witness to our relationship with our God. This was Enoch's experience, as he did not taste physical death, but was translated by God directly from this life to the next. This would have been something that his contemporaries would have seen and known about. And it's interesting to note that all of the patriarchs mentioned in this chapter, apart from Adam, who died 57 years earlier, and Noah, who would be born 69 years later, were alive and would most likely have known about this event. Now, we could speculate on whether this had an impact on them and how they thought their lives on earth would end. But the nature of the end of Enoch's earthly life points forward to the reality of an eternal life beyond this scene of time. It provides a basis for the hope that we have through faith in Jesus, that one day those who walk with God will step out of time and into his nearer presence in eternity forever. As we approach the annual season of remembrance, we have the opportunity to think on and give thanks to God for the many acts of courage others have undertaken on our behalf, so that we can enjoy the peace and freedom that we have and must never ever take for granted. Now, one of the many, many acts of courage recorded from the First World War was that of a private, Billy McFadyen, a young Irish Presbyterian who volunteered to serve in the British Army in that conflict. He served with the 14th Battalion of the Royal Irish Regiment and was preparing grenades in the trenches on the first day of the Battle of the Somme, the 1st of July 1916. The boxes of grenades were sitting ready when McFadyen noticed that the pins in a couple of the grenades had been dislodged. Realising that the whole lot would explode, killing him and his comrades, many of whom were not Christians, McFadyen took the courageous decision to throw himself on top of the box of grenades where the pins had been dislodged. He was killed instantly, but his sacrifice saved the lives of his comrades. He was awarded the Victoria Cross posthumously and is commemorated by a plaque in his home church, St. John's Presbyterian, Newton Breda. As with Enoch, the nature of his departure from this life left a spiritual impression on those who witnessed or heard about the event. As we come to the end of our time together this morning, the words of one of Freddie Mercury and Queen's songs come to mind, released in 1986, and I suspect not often quoted in a sermon. Really, yeah. They say, one dream, one soul, one prize, one goal, one golden chance of what should be. It's a kind of magic. So many in our society are searching for the ultimate goal, and so often are relying on the fantasy and trickery of human illusion or magic to achieve it. Enoch chose a different way. He walked with God. He walked with God through time, and when time for him had ended, he just kept walking into the very presence of God himself in heaven. His example of this life of faith is one to inspire and to encourage us. In Jesus, we have been shown the way to walk with God through knowing him as our Saviour and having his Holy Spirit live within us. And I trust that this will be your experience and mine until our earthly walk is over and we reach our heavenly rest. Amen. We're going to come now and sing our closing praise. It's a favourite of mine, and I know you enjoy singing it here, as I do. It's "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord," a hymn taken from the time of the American Civil War, speaking of the power of God to change lives and to change situations. So if you're able, we'll stand and sing "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord." So after our service is finished, if you want another look around the link, you're more than welcome to do so. If you're collecting a young person, they should be safely in there. Or if they're beginners, church or creche, they'll be across in the usual place. But let's conclude our time together as we say together the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.